Vicky Newland, good old Vicky. Very interesting character. Gonzalo Lira already did a very interesting video about it. Probably the most eye-opening, red-pilling video I've seen. But yeah, he, of course, I can't do it justice. It takes like 3 hours to explain it. I also think that's the reason why he died, by the way. But he has a whole thing about Victoria Nuland and her background. Again, I can't do it justice in a few minutes. But it does give an interesting insight in who the neocons are, how they came to power, how they stay in power, and what their objectives are, and why and how that has shaped U.S. foreign policy over the last few decades. So I'll try to summarize it real quick. There's that a lot of the neocons were Jewish, descendants of people from, you know, what is now, you know, Russia and Ukraine, that emigrated to the United States before World War II as a result of the pogroms in the 20s and the 10s and before in Russia, or what is now Russia and Ukraine, mostly done by the Russians, ethnic Russians. So there's a deep hatred in those families and a lot of trauma in those families, because those were, you know, very bloodthirsty, probably on par with the ones of the Nazis, just less, you know, systematic, I guess. But so there's a lot of trauma in those respective families, and they grew up with a deep-rooted hatred for Russia. So, and that, of course, is then reflected in how they view the world. They view Russia as the enemy. So, yeah, not like it's the economy stupid, it's Russia stupid. That basically explains a lot of neocons' foreign policy. Not all of it, of course. So they don't want to see Russia come to power. And that's why they hate Putin so much, because Putin has made Russia a much stronger power on the world stage. Before, they had Yeltsin, who was willing to sell everything to Western companies and the oligarchs. And yeah, Russia was bleeding dry. And at least Putin is allocating a large chunk of the resources to his own population. And I'm sure also to his own family, of course. But still, net gain for Russia and for, you know, the standard and quality of living in Russia. And more importantly, of course, for the role on the world stage. And that's, of course, for the neocons, unacceptable, because they don't want to share the pie. They're playing Risk. And if you're an opponent, you have to be defeated. That's how they view the world. And America's the one to do it. And if they can't use their own army, they'll use other people to do it, which, just like in a game of Risk, you would do, right? If you have a big rival, a big opponent, and then you have some other smaller players, if you can convince those smaller players that your biggest enemy is also their enemy, so they're willing to sacrifice their relatively small army to weaken your biggest rival, of course that's what you're going to do. If you want to win, at least. I mean, if you're just playing for fun, then who cares? But they're not playing for fun. This is serious. Now, there's not a lot of love lost between the neocons and the Ukrainians either, by the way. Not in America, at least. In Canada, you have a large contingent of, you know, Ukrainians with ties to, you know, former Nazis, who also have a strong hatred for Russia, but coming from like a different angle. I'm sure like the Victoria Nulands and the Kagans and the Billy Crystals and the Wolfowitzes, you know, name them. I'm sure they didn't really take kindly to the fact that these Ukrainians were siding with the Nazis and also killed hundreds of thousands of Jews in Ukraine. So I don't think there's a lot of love lost there. It's just they're not the main enemy, because they're not a power on the world stage that poses a threat to America. And a lot of these people, their families were already in America, so they didn't experience it firsthand. That's why, you know, you don't see the same hatred for, let's say, Germany amongst Jews, or, you know, the neocon contingent of it, at least. I don't want to paint them all with the same brush. But you don't see that hatred for Germany because their families were already in America at the time. They did not experience the Holocaust. Now, if you want to go a level deeper in the conspiracy theory, you could say that maybe blowing up the Nord Stream and weakening Germany economically is part of a sort of a revenge. But I don't really think that is true. I don't think it goes that deep. I think that is just more for geopolitical reasons, namely...
Yeah, you want to weaken the tie between Russia and the economic powerhouse of Europe, because those European countries are a lot less likely to side with you if they are dependent on the energy supply of your biggest rival. So, of course, you want to weaken that rival by cutting off, the gas pipeline. You want to weaken Russia with it economically. But you also want to make sure that they don't gain any more power over other territories that you consider yours, namely Western Europe. So, again, in the game of risk, not that uncommon. But, again, yeah, there's not that same deep-rooted hatred as there is for the Russians. The only reason I'm mentioning that is because in a war between Ukraine and Russia, it doesn't matter if Ukraine loses a couple hundred thousand or a couple million people to these people. I mean, they don't care about their own population, of course. They're the neocons. So, of course, they don't care about Ukrainians, but I even think that there's like an active... There's some hate there, too, and some revenge for, their role in World War II. But that's not really the driving factor here. But they are willing to sacrifice them to weaken their political rival, namely Putin. Right? They have no scruples to do that. That's who they always are. So then you see Vicky Nuland on the phone, or you hear her on the phone, determining who the next the president of Ukraine is going to be, and literally just with Paya, they have a whole conversation about it. And that happens to also then be the one that is put in power. This is already before the Maidan Revolution. So this plan was already in place. They were always going to use the Ukrainians to trigger a war with Russia so that they can impose sanctions and they can fight a war with Russia with Ukrainian lives, which is a lot cheaper, and weaken Russia to the point where, Putin can be replaced by someone more like Yeltsin, namely someone that's more willing to accept what they see the role of Russia in society around the world states, namely far below them, ideally Balkanized, split up in several parts so that they can never, rise to power again. But so Victoria Nuland, senior advisor to Dick Cheney in the war in Iraq, right? So that either means you're a horrible person and or you have horrible judgment. One of the two. Of course, there's never a political price to pay for these people. They always stay in power, no matter what party is in the White House. So Victoria Nuland is there under Obama, after serving under Dick Cheney in Iraq and helping with the operation in Iraq, not feeling guilty or bad about anything that happened. There's 500,000 children that died. The fact that there was no real link to 9/11, weapons of mass destruction, was all a big lie. They got their goal, namely to get rid of what they considered an enemy, and then you move on. You move on to the next goal. And the next goal, of course, is Putin. Because you get rid of leaders that you don't like or that don't bow down to hegemony. You have to get rid of Mossadegh. You have to get rid of Gaddafi. You have to get rid of Assad. You have to get rid of Saddam Hussein. You have to get rid of Putin. You have to get rid of all of them. Allende, of course. But then we see good old Vicky on the Maidan Square. This time she's there for the freedom and democracy because she's miraculously changed the ways. And we just all have to buy it. That is like sitting in a movie. You're watching Psycho. You see the Psycho guy with the knife. He's already killed two women in the bathtub. You see him, or four or five. You see him show up a sixth time. He has a knife in his hand. What is he going to do? He's probably going to kill the woman again, right? So you tell the people next to you, oh no, it's the same guy. Don't let him in. Don't let him in your house. He's going to kill you, like he's done it multiple times before. And then the people around you, no, he's not. He's there to help. He's not going to kill. No, of course, just let him in. Let him in. He's there to do good this time. Just trust. Of course you should let him in. He's there to help you. He's there to help you fight your boyfriend. Your evil boyfriend. And then he's going to be your boyfriend after. You're in much better hands with him because he loves you. He cares about you. But it's a psycho guy. It's the same person. Like, we haven't had any indication that he's changed his mind or his whole personality. This is who he's always been. Why would he be different? Oh, shut up. That's what we're forced to believe, that the very same people that were responsible for previous war crimes are now somehow on the right side. So either they gained new judgment, they became just a whole lot better, even though they were terrible before, they just out of the blue got a whole lot better, or they just gained a conscience, like out of nowhere, without there being any indication through any of their other actions that would be the case. And lo and behold, she got a war. Her friends in the military-industrial complex are getting paid right after the war in Afghanistan, of course. You need to, you know, keep the faucet going, you know, keep the gravy train going. That's also what they want and what their friends want. That's all they hear from the people around them. You got to be in a war. You always got to have a war somewhere because that means you're fighting for freedom. That's how they view the world. Like, if it's risk, like, you're not going to skip your turn. Like, if you want to reach your objectives, you got to go to battle. You're not just going to take three armies and that's it. And it worked. It was a relatively cheap war for America. Yeah, provide weapons and money, but not lives. And it almost worked. I mean, I don't know how close it was to working, but yeah, I mean, those sanctions didn't work. They didn't think about, you know, Russia branching out to India and China, which is also par for the course, because other than being wrong morally, they're also usually wrong in the sense that they're losing. Like, they're never right about anything, and they never come out victorious either, but it doesn't stop them from fighting new wars. But yeah, they made a big mistake, because if you got two risk players that are both strong opponents, the last thing you want is for the two of them to form an alliance. And now, with these actions, you kind of force them into an alliance that wasn't even really all that close before. So, not a very good move at all. And it's going to force them to make another move, probably against Taiwan at some point, which they will then do, and it will be the exact same narrative. And they'll start with a clean slate. Or he starts, like the psycho guy, starts with a clean slate, even though now he has another murder, and then we haven't even talked about Israel and his responsibility in that. But yeah, so a couple more murders, but then he shows up in Taiwan, and that will be, like, now he shows up to actually help the woman, because she has an abusive boyfriend, and that's what he does. He just can't see people suffer. This is just that one scene in the movie where they just hang out together and build a friendship. What are you on about? Sure, and the Earth is flat, right? And you get cancer from 5G, and the moon landing didn't happen, right? Right? Is that's what you believe? Because basically, yeah, all conspiracies are the same. Because everybody knows there's never actual conspiracies taking place in the highest ranks of politics. That only happens with, like, lower level people. Like, the higher you go, the less, and the higher the stakes are, the less all of that happens, of course. So yeah, Vicky Nuland, very interesting person. And yeah, now she resigned, which is strange, because she just got a promotion. I thought she was going to be Secretary of State. Maybe she realizes Ukraine's not going to win this war, and she just wants to wash her hands of it. Doesn't want to be associated with it, so that later on she can come back in another function. Or I really doubt she's just giving up voluntarily. So there has to be an ulterior motive here. Either she got another job somewhere where she has influence and her fingers in the pie somewhere, no pun intended, or, you know, it's a strategic decision, but it's always for a reason. It's not because she did some soul-searching and thought, hey, made a mistake, and thanks to our decisions, the whole country of Ukraine is going to collapse, basically, with hundreds of thousands of people dying, and maybe Russia taken over. Who knows? No, I don't think that's what it is. There's not going to be any soul searching. We're going to see her again at some point in some capacity. But it does go to show that there is no difference between the two political parties when it comes to the economy and mostly geopolitics. It's the very same people running the State Department, regardless of who the president is. She was there under George Bush twice, under Obama twice, and under Biden. So it transcends political parties. The only president she didn't serve under, serve quotation marks, was Donald J. Trump. Interesting. I'm sure that's all coincidence.